some challenges as a prophet. And these challenges got serious, more serious, the last years of his life. Then from people around him, they decided to assassinate him.
Yes.
They tried to kill him. So those people who wanted to kill the prophet, what could they do if the name of Imam Ali was openly mentioned in Quran?
Yes.
As long as the name is not mentioned in Quran, at least there is a chance just to run away from it.
Okay.
From the accepting Imam Ali. But if the name is to be declared in Quran, they had whether the option to delete the verse from Quran, to delete the verse that the name of Ali was there, or to kill Imam Ali alayhi salam, and to kill his children with him. And this way, they could change the history. And if Allah wanted to keep the Prophet and Imams alive by miraculous ways, then this wasn't the test of human being that is according to the free will.
Yes.
Means that if they were about to be iron men,
yes,
and nobody to kill them and, by any means,
okay,
then there was no test. This is not how the nature of life is.
Yes.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects, but at the same time, this is the life of cause and effect.
Yes.
If they poison the Prophet will die by the poison. This is how Allah has set up the perfect life of the cause and effect. So, if their names were about to be mentioned, those who decided to kill the Prophet, that is very clear, those people had to kill the Imams as well. So to protect the lives of Imams, you know, even we have the hadith that, for example, in our sources that Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, he knew the names of Imams.
Yes.
And he came and he carried and passed the salam of the Prophet to Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. But this is not something that everybody knew about it. Mm-hmm. They didn't know the names of Imams.
Yes.
At the time of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, even you see that we have the hadith in Usul al-Kafi that the first Abbasid Caliph Saffah, when he asked Imam alayhi salam about a question to see whether he has claim of Imam or not, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "You are the Imam." Even he didn't say, "I am Imam." He said, "You are the Imam."
Yes.
Why? Because he knew that if I say I am the Imam, he's going to kill me. And then Imam, after he leaving the presence of Safah, Imam said, "I protected my life, then my Shia will not be without anyone to take care of them."
That's right.
Imam says, "I observe taqiyya, reservation, just to protect my..." Meaning that even at that time, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he himself didn't have the claim of Imam.
Yes.
So the real life is not like that.
Yes.
The real life on the ground is the life that people have the free will.
Yes.
And the hypocrites who were there, the Bedouins who were there, and they didn't like the presence of Imams, they could kill them.
Yes.
If the names were openly mentioned in Quran.
Okay.
And so the names are not mentioned, they are protected. And from the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, I mean, Imam Ali alayhi as-salam, he had the claim of Imama.
Yes.
And you see, but they rejected him. They didn't give a chance to him. And he was chosen by people 25 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And after Imam Ali alayhi as-salam, the very first person to openly claim that he is Imam is Imam al-Ridha alayhi as-salam.
Yes.
Means that there were such life conditions that after occupying the position of Imam Ali alayhi salam for 25 years, they set up things in a way that even Imam Ali couldn't openly talk about the rules of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime he said mentioned his understanding of Islam, which is the true understanding of the Prophet, they said, "No, this is against the Sunnah of Khulafa."
Mm-hmm.
And there were lots of things in the Sunnah of Khulafa that Imam Ali couldn't talk about against.
Yes.
Like one of them was Salatul Taraweeh.
Yes.
When Imam Ali wanted to abandon, they made him even cry. So, even Imam Ali now, after 25 years, cannot openly talk about the established rule of the Shaykhain and the Khulafa, let alone the other Imams.
Okay.
So, on the ground, it was something different. And you may say that if the verses were there, they wouldn't choose anyone other than Imam Ali from the very beginning.
Yes.
But the point is that they didn't want Imam Ali. So the way that they tried to assassinate the Prophet, they could assassinate Imam Ali even before the demise of the Prophet.
IRIB English Radio presents questions and answers on Islamic beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
I think that Prophet Muhammad and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to safeguard this path, had an intention, but at the same time, some of the qualities and some of the important events that took place in the history of Islam were indirectly referring to the story of A'imma, isn't it? For example, Ayah Mubahala, Ayah Velaya, Ayah Ikmal, Ayah Tabliq, Ayat al-Nasr, you know, Ayat al-Sadaqin, or something.
That is
like
another
that.
Important point, yes. That the names are not mentioned, but the qualities are mentioned. Uh-huh. If you look at the books of our brothers, you see that it is very clear. Ayat al-Mubahala is very clear.
Yes.
Ayat al-Vilaya is very clear. But look at the justifications they bring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they don't want to accept something, there is always a chance not to accept it.
Yes.
In Ayat al-Mubahala, there are lots of debates there. I have written a book in English about Ayatul Mubahila.
Yes.
I have brought all those views.
Okay.
So even a person like Ibn Taymiyyah, who tries to deny all these things about virtues of Imam Ali, when he comes to this, he accepts. The concept of the verse is very strong, that Imam Ali is introduced as the soul of the Prophet. Ibn Uthaymeen, who is one of the contemporary Wahhabi Mufassirin of Quran, when he comes to this verse and the hadiths which are there, he says, even though there are such hadiths, but the point is that my heart doesn't accept it.
Okay.
So I reject it. Why? Because my heart doesn't accept it. Means that when people, they don't want to accept, even if there was even declaration of the name, they could delete the verse from the verse, or to say that this is omitted, or they say that this is Ali, which is mentioned in the name, is another Ali. This is not Ali ibn Abi Talib. If there was a verse to say that Ali ibn Abi Talib is the Imam after the Prophet, they could say that there was a person, another person by the name, as they said, council. Amruhum shura bainahum.
Yes.
And they could say that hadith, that the verse that Ali's name is mentioned later on, it was mansukh, it was abrogated by the verse of shura. So they could find a way. When there is a will, there will be a way. When they didn't want to accept the Imam alayhi salam, they could find a way, whether to kill him, to delete him, or to delete the verses talking about him.
Yes.
But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indirectly mentions the qualities of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So they don't feel necessity to delete the verse, and they don't feel necessity to delete the person of Imam Ali alayhi salam, to kill the person of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Why Imam Ali alayhi salam kept silent when they attacked the house?
Yes.
Because he had a responsibility to take care of the Imam and Wilaya, and to carry this heavy burden on his shoulders after the demise of the Prophet.
Yes.
So there was a chance for Imam Ali to live after that and to continue guiding people to the right path when the name was not mentioned in the Quran.
The special ayah Wilaya, that is Surah Maidah ayah 55, is the most famous one. In fact, both the Shia and the Sunni, when you refer to the tafasir, believe that this ayah was revealed in respect of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
We have verses like verse 124. This is the most important verse talking about the concept of imama.
Yes.
What is imama itself?
Ayah ibtala of Ibrahim.
Yeah.
That's right.
We have ayatul mubahila.
Yes.
It shows the most important verse talking about the position of Imam Ali alayhi salam, that he is the same as the soul of the Prophet.
Yes.
He is the soul of the Prophet.
Yes.
Ayatul wilaya, After those two verses, one establishing the position of Imam, the other one establishing the position of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Yes.
Ayatul Wilayah, the third verse, establishes the position of Imam Ali as a Imam. Mm-hmm. So this is the most important verse concerning Ali alayhi salam to be as the Wali and the Imam.
That's all right. So this is about the Imam Imamat. What about Lady Fatima to Zahra? Are there any in Mubahala, Lady Fatima al-Zahra was among the yes, members, the, yes. Of the five members.
Nisa'ana wa nisa'akum, Nisa'ana is Lady Fatima al-Zahra.
But only Lady Fatima was over there,
only Lady Fatima.
Okay.
So, nobody other than Lady Fatima was there as a woman. And this is one of the very important connotations because Nisa'ana is a plural term.
Yes.
And plural term in Arabic at least should have three members.
Yes.
Why the Prophet, even Nisa'ana apparently means our women, so what comes, the first thing that comes to the mind is that your wives.
Uh-huh.
So the Prophet had at least had to bring two of his wives with yes. Lady Fatima, so then there would be three women.
Uh-huh.
Even though the verse was talking about three, and the Prophet, the wives were there, but the Prophet didn't bring any of them other than Lady Fatima, is about to show the importance of these people among the companions of the Prophet. Imam Ali, Imam Hassan, Hussein, and Lady Fatima with the Prophet, these five people.
Yes.
That is mentioned in Hadithul Kisa, that is in the very well-known sources of Ahlul Sunnah. And the interesting point is that the hadith is mentioned from Aisha. Aisha narrates the story.
That's right.
And Ayatul Hadithul Kisa coming after Ayatul Mubahala to show yes. that Lady Fatima had a specific position among yes. the women.
Okay, that's all right. Thank you very much, Shaykh Agha Muhammadi, for a nice elaboration. Of course, so many of the Mufassirin during the history of Islam have tried to interpret these ayahs referring to some other people. But according to the ilm of hadith, you know, what is mutawatir, isn't it? Or what is more authentic or muwassaq is what refers to the character of Imam Ali alayhi salam and the infallible imams. I mean, the qualities, when you match the qualities.
There is no, even in the Sunni sources, we don't have a hadith to say that somebody else
yes.
represents this Anfusana in the verse. But they have tried to say that this is not giving any importance.
For example, Vahum Raka'un, when he was
no,
bowing down.
No, I'm talking about Ayatul Mubahala.
Ayatul Mubahala, that's yeah. right. Okay, okay.
So about Ayatul Wilayah, this is plural.
Yes.
It's plural, it is referring to all Muslims.
Yes.
Okay. And even sometimes they said that. But those even those hadiths, they are not very strong hadiths.
Strong hadiths, that's right. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much, Sheikh. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
Only minutes before dawn on Sunday, January 28th, A roaring sound broke the silence of Iran's central desert. The Simorgh satellite launch vehicle was successfully sent into space from Imam Khomeini Space Launch Terminal in Semnan province with an unprecedented mission. To put three homegrown satellites into orbit with a minimum altitude of 450 kilometers and a maximum of 1100 kilometers above the Earth's surface. The successful launch, marked by multiple injection of satellites into orbit, has ushered in a new era in the country's space program.
For the first time in the history of the country's space program, we managed to inject multiple satellites into space. Also, the satellite carrier managed to go beyond the altitude of 1,000 kilometers and reach an orbit as high as 1,110 kilometers.
Iran will, in the near future, be able to send heavy satellites weighing 250 kilograms into different altitudes of the lower Earth orbit on domestically manufactured Simorgh satellite carrier.
This indigenously manufactured satellite is yet another example of Iran's breakthroughs in the field of science and technology. Iran is now among the top 10 nations in the world that are capable of producing and launching satellites into aerospace.
The three satellites launched into space simultaneously during this mission were Mahda, Hotef 1, and Kayhan 2. Mahda's main task is to assess the performance of the Simorgh launcher in multiple injections of space cargo at low altitudes, as well as evaluate new designs and the reliability of homegrown space technologies. Kayhan 2 is developed for space-based positioning, and Hotef 1 is concerned with narrowband communications technology in the Internet of Things.
Despite being research satellites, they are really important to us because they enjoy various technologies developed by Iranian scientists. With this launch, as well as the ones that will take place in the near future, we seek to reach maturity in our space program and play a serious and effective role in the world's space industry.
Iranian officials have time and again stressed that the country reserves the inalienable and legitimate right to make scientific and research advances in the field of aerospace. They say Iran does not wait for permission from certain countries in order to use peaceful technologies to accelerate its scientific progress. Mahdia Posyan, Semnan.
A new poll from the English magazine The Economist has revealed a huge shift in the United States' perceptions of Israeli genocide. 35% of Americans say Israel is committing genocide, 36% say Israel is not, and 29% remain undecided. Not only is the once ardently pro-Zionist United States almost perfectly split on the question of Israel's genocide, pro-Palestinians are a single point from being the relative majority. A similarly historic shift was just registered at the United Nations top court in The Hague, which has ordered the Israeli regime to prevent the killing of more Palestinians.
The State of Israel shall, in accordance with its obligations under the Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide, in relation to the Palestinians in Gaza, take all measures within its power to prevent the commission of all acts within the scope of Article 2 of the Convention, in particular, A, killing members of the group.
The Economist's poll found that Americans under 30 see Israel as genocidal by a 2-to-1 margin, 49% to 24%.
I think especially in the age of social media, with like a lot of young people on social media and like getting their news directly from Gaza, they see so clearly what's going on. They see the truth, and there's no denying it. And I think the movements, especially on social media, have been so empowering and have made information so accessible that it's just when you actually see what's going on, I mean, there's really no other explanation or no other outcome than to, you know, be pro-Palestine or against the occupation or against the genocide.
However, the increased awareness of Israel's genocidal atrocities isn't something which is being reflected in Washington. Congress recently shot down a resolution which would have made American military aid to Israel conditional on human rights.
indicating just how much criminal latitude Washington is giving to Tel Aviv.
Youth-driven anger over the war crimes in Palestine is threatening to make Joe Biden a one-term president this November and perhaps split the Democratic Party. The poll showed that Democrats agree Israel is committing genocide by a whopping 49-21% margin.
Going back to 2020, when it wasn't an issue, you had the unified, you know, Democratic Party, and you know that you could have had a stance whether you want to be pro-Palestine or pro-Israel, because there wasn't a conflict going on. I think the conflict is causing a lot of people on the Democrat side to pick a side.
The poll found that 18% of Republicans say that Israel is committing genocide, which is a 40% increase from a poll last October 11th, which found that just 13% of Republicans agreed that Israel's military response was too much. Ramin Mazahari, Chicago.
Yemenis from different walks of life gathered in the capital Sana'a and other major cities. They commended the Yemeni army for its operations against vessels linked to the United States, the United Kingdom and Israel in the Red Sea and Gulf of Aden. They also reiterated their steadfast support for the Palestinian people.
The whole world is watching the Israeli genocidal war against the Palestinian people and its result and repercussions. Yemenis are also following what's happening with all their feelings. If what happened to the Palestinian people had happened to other people in the world, the situation would have been the same. The Palestinian people have been suffering for 75 years from continuous occupation, displacement, killing, and indiscriminate attacks, and they need us to stand with them, as we have one language, one religion, and as we are both suffering from oppression.
Protesters condemned the aggression of the US and UK against their country, while also expressing readiness to stand against the entire world in support of their Palestinian brothers.
The goal of the American-British aggression was to stop the Yemeni army's naval attacks, but they completely failed in achieving this goal. The strikes continue and nothing has happened except that they have involved themselves in the ongoing conflict and are seeking to bring in other countries as well. They are now being targeted by the Yemeni army. The Yemeni armed forces are seeking to expand their operations and will not stop until the genocide committed by Israel in Gaza comes to an end.
Earlier, the leader of the Ansarullah movement, Abdul Malik al-Houthi, declared that the Yemeni army's naval operations would go on until the entry of food and medicine into Gaza is permitted. He emphasized that any escalation by the US and UK would yield contrary outcomes and would not diminish Yemen's resolve.
People in Yemen say they fully support all decisions made by the political and military leadership in confronting the Western powers. They have said that they have authorized the Yemeni army to escalate its naval operations until Israel ceases its genocidal war in Gaza. Abu Latif al-Washali, Sana'a.
It was a ruling weeks in the making. Lawyers acting for South Africa had requested the International Court of Justice implement special measures that would prevent more deaths and a further humanitarian catastrophe in Gaza. This whilst the main case of genocide is considered against Tel Aviv, a process which could take years.
In the court's view, the aforementioned facts and circumstances are sufficient to conclude that at least some of the rights claimed by South Africa and for which it is seeking protection are plausible. This is the case with respect to the right of Palestinians in Gaza to be protected from acts of genocide and related prohibited acts identified in Article 3, and the right of South Africa to seek Israel's compliance with the latter's obligations under the convention.
Outside the court, pro-Palestinian activists had a mixed response.
It is a bittersweet feeling that I'm having now. It's as if finally there is international recognition that the Palestinian people are facing the threat of genocide, that they are facing vicious war crimes. And it's as if we have to be grateful that they're finally recognizing it, right? And to hear also the evidence that the judge stated, it was very painful to hear all this evidence there. But still, the people on the ground right now, I don't think it will benefit them at all on the short term. So it's also very painful to realize that.
The whole world knows it. They are exposed. That means that the people, the normal people who are not affected by the politics, will know the truth, will know that there is a genocide there. Israel cannot hide it anymore. They are exposed. And now the most important thing is that every complicit party has to know that they will be the next. Israel may escape with it, but the other complicit parties will not.
That gave me hope, and that reminded me that this is a long struggle. And even though a ceasefire has not been ordered, which is a bitter pill for us to swallow, but this is still a victory. This is the first time that Israel has been officially quite clearly reprimanded. And as Muin Rabbani, the Palestinian analyst, said, this is a stain on them forever.
Of Foreign Affairs on 6 December 2023.
The muted response to the ICJ's interim ruling shows that it wasn't just occupation Israel that was in the dock in the building behind me, but actually it was institutions like the ICJ, like the UN's top court, because people want to know that they can have justice that is tied to what's going on and not simply to Western political interests. The European Union has said it respects the decision of the court and expects all parties to comply. Meanwhile, Israeli ministers have taken to social media to call out both the ICJ for attempting to lecture Tel Aviv and again calling the South African case anti-Semitic. South Africa, who brought the action against Israel to the ICJ, acknowledged the six measures granted would be difficult to implement without a ceasefire.
This case was very much about international bodies ensuring that they exercise their responsibility to protect us all as global citizens.
From the river to the sea!
Israel has 1 month to make its initial report to the ICJ to show compliance of the special measures requested. Palestinians have indicated they will not hold their breaths. Amina Taylor, The Hague.
The Yemeni army continues its retaliatory attacks against the US and UK. Yemen's armed forces reported launching ballistic missiles at American warships that were protecting two commercial vessels in the Gulf of Aden and the Bab al-Mandeb Strait. Yahya Saria, the spokesman for Yemen's armed forces, stated that an American warship was hit by ballistic missiles, forcing the two American commercial vessels to withdraw and return.
We engaged in a clash with a number of American destroyers and warships in the Gulf of Aden and Bab al-Mandeb while they were protecting two American commercial ships. The result of the clash was as follows. A direct hit on an American vessel, which forced the two American commercial vessels to return. Several of our ballistic missiles struck their targets despite warships' attempts to intercept them.
Observers argue that the Yemeni attack is legally justified as an act of self-defense, pointing to the US and UK aggression against Yemen and multiple rounds of airstrikes on Yemeni territories.
The operations of the Yemeni army are legitimate and come in self-defense and on behalf of the Palestinian people, who are subjected to the worst types of genocide and crimes against humanity. These operations took place amid the silence of the international community. Palestinians and Yemenis are brothers, and we should not forget the aggression being launched by the US and Britain against our country. And therefore, the Yemeni army has the right to respond to any such attacks.
Since January 11th, the US and the UK have initiated numerous airstrikes targeting several positions in different Yemeni cities in response to Yemeni naval operations in the Red Sea against Israeli-linked vessels. In response, the Yemeni army has intensified its naval operations, now including American and British ships on its list of targets.
For the first time in 75 years, U.S. warships are experiencing attacks. Observers say the American insistence on militarizing the Red Sea to protect Israeli-linked vessels will lead to the regional escalation for which the U.S. will be responsible. Abdul Latif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
Gaza, where Israel's air and artillery strikes have become a regular occurrence. In the besieged strip, sounds of bombardment are followed by screams of mothers losing their kids as well as cries of children whose parents are killed by the regime. Tens of thousands of Palestinians, most of them women and kids, have been killed in the relentless strikes since October 7th. Humanitarian organizations report that more than 10 children on average lose one or both of their legs per day in the coastal territory. And that's just one aspect of the unending cycle of Israel's brutality against the people of Gaza. Apart from casualties, the regime's recurring attacks have caused indescribable devastation in the Palestinian territory. But when it comes to describing the true nature of the Israeli onslaught, there's no word better than genocide. There are multiple reports and countless evidence indicating that what's taking place in Gaza meets the definition of a genocidal war. Since the very beginning of the onslaught, millions of people around the world, along with a number of states, have been calling on international institutions to oblige Israel to end the genocide. South Africa is one of those states. The country, in late December, filed a lawsuit against Israel at the International Court of Justice. Now, nearly 1 month after the lawsuit was filed, the Hague-based court is set to convene on Friday to decide on South Africa's request for an interim ruling in its genocide case against Israel. The possible verdict by the ICJ would order Israel to announce a ceasefire in Gaza and allow more humanitarian aid into the Palestinian territory. In its filing, Pretoria referred to Israel's violation of the United Nations 1948 Genocide Convention. South Africa's application includes multiple offenses, from indiscriminate killing of Palestinians to the wholesale destruction of Gaza's infrastructure. Earlier in January, the Hague-based court convened two-day hearings. At the closing of the first day, the South African ambassador to the Netherlands asked the court to order Israel to immediately suspend its onslaught on the besieged strip.
One, the state of Israel shall immediately suspend its military operations in and against Gaza. Two, the state of Israel shall ensure that any military or irregular armed units which may be directed, supported, or influenced by it, as well as any organizations and persons which may be subject to its control, direction, or influence, take no steps in furtherance of the military operations referred to in point one above.
South Africa's move has been welcomed by Palestinian resistance movements. Hamas said the arguments and evidence put forth by South Africa proves Israel's crimes of genocide and ethnic cleansing in Gaza. The Palestinian Foreign Ministry also applauded the move, calling it a historic moment for humanity.
This is a historical moment for the Palestinian people and for humanity, as well as for the world order based on law.
A number of countries and international organizations have welcomed South Africa's case at the ICJ. The Organization of Islamic Countries, OIC, and the Arab League expressed their support for the case. Malaysia, Turkey, Jordan, and Iran are among the states voicing support for the motion. Israel's crimes against Palestinians in Gaza have also been referred to the International Criminal Court. Mexico and Chile have requested the ICC to probe the crimes against civilians in Gaza. Submitting lawsuits at international courts are parts of global efforts to mandate Israel to put an end to its non-stop strikes on Gaza, as their scale and nature dovetail with the widely accepted narrative that the onslaught is actually a genocidal war.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت القرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازم است.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. 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 کتاب الله.
In the limelight.
Nobody should have any illusion that the child killer regime of Israel will abide by even this ICJ limited ruling. What the ruling has achieved, though, is that Zionist Israel can no longer play the victim card. The Zionists are acting as barbarians, and Western rulers are complicit in their crimes. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Crescent International Road. In its interim ruling today, January 26th, the International Court of Justice, ICJ, declared that the case against the Zionist regime committing genocide has merit. Further, the court ruled that it has jurisdiction to hear the case. It was brought before the court by South Africa and was heard on January 11th. Not surprisingly, the Zionist regime and its Western allies called for the dismissal of the case, claiming it had no merit. Let us consider what the ICJ ruling said, as summarized by Al Jazeera. The court says it has jurisdiction to rule in the case. The court orders Israel to take measures to prevent acts of genocide in the Gaza Strip, must report back in 1 month. The court says Israel must prevent and punish incitement to genocide. The court says Israel must allow humanitarian aid into the Strip. The court obliges Israel to take more measures to protect Palestinians, but does not order it to end military operations in the Strip. Without demanding an end to military operations, the Zionist regime will continue to perpetuate genocide, as it has done since October 7th. Further, the court says the Zionist regime must report back in 1 month to show its compliance with the ruling. Thus, the genocidal Zionists have been given another month to continue the horrors. Does it really make sense to call for allowing humanitarian aid and prevent the deaths of innocent civilians without a ceasefire? The Zionist regime's Western allies, the United States, Canada, Britain, France, Germany, et al., tiptoed through the ruling or sought to minimize its significance.
Canada's response was denounced by many as outrageous. The Canadian government said it will wait for the court's final verdict. That will take years. In the meantime, displaying its pro-Zionist bias, Canada's statement said that while it supports the ICJ, it does not mean it agrees with the process. It went further. Ottawa reiterated the now standard line that Israel has the right to defend itself. The Zionist regime is not defending itself. It is perpetrating genocide against defenseless Palestinian civilians. Western officials, whether in the US, Canada, Britain, Germany, etc., cannot be oblivious of the fact that Israel has murdered more than 26,000 Palestinians since October 7th. According to the World Health Organization, WHO, only 15 of Gaza's 36 hospitals are partially functional. They have run out of medicines. The Zionist regime prevents any medicines from being delivered to Gaza. There is no anesthesia, for instance, so doctors are forced to amputate children's limbs without anesthesia. The overwhelming majority of Gaza's 2.3 million people are on the verge of starvation. One wonders how these Western rulers can sleep at night in the light of these facts. This may perhaps be the wrong question. After all, the European settler colonialists in North America also perpetrated the genocide of native peoples. Their kith and kin are doing exactly the same in Palestine. The only difference is that the rest of the world is hearing and seeing this in real time. Nobody should have any illusion that the child killer regime of Israel will abide by even this limited ruling. What the ruling has achieved, though, is that Zionist Israel can no longer play the victim card. The Zionists are acting as barbarians, and Western rulers are complicit in their crimes. Even beasts do not indulge in such behavior. They kill to satiate their hunger, but they do not indulge in mass slaughter. Only the Zionists and their Western allies are capable of perpetrating such crimes against humanity.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the pit.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. I am a Muslim. Islamite. Islamite. Allah my Lord. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of Arabic English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of
Youth Station. We're here again, and I'm Bital.
And I'm Asma. Once more, we're at your service. And I guess we're going to have one of these extraordinary sessions in
exactly.
here.
Exactly. Yeah. So, my dear Asma, I always criticize the people.
A bit.
Yeah, I mean it. I overdo it. Believe me. So whenever I go, for example, in a new group of people, I feel like I have to criticize all of them and I don't like them. And it actually is true for the people in the dining room.
Mostly it's true because,
it's,
you know,
it's mostly true for all of the people.
Well, there is something you guys must know. Bita and I, we have a sympathetic mind.
Yeah.
We kind of understand each other. So in this point also, I would say that, yes, I have an analytical point of view to everything. And even
in
myself.
Everyone. Yeah. Me too.
So when,
specifically myself,
yeah. With too much of focus on myself. So I sometimes feel that, what if other people do that to me? I mean, like, they sit in front of me and then they start analyzing me.
It was a long time that I tried to convince myself that I'm a patient person towards criticism. But I'm not. You know, I always felt like, okay, if you're telling me something, then it's okay. It's your opinion. I respect it, but I cannot actually respect it.
You know, I respect it, but not necessarily accept it.
I would respond, nice. That was nice, but I would respond to that person.
And
sure.
Even sometimes it's not even respected because, you know, when I say analytical point of view, I mean that, okay, you go through different layers. You try to dig in the whole of the details, not just like coming to people and throwing things into their face with
comments,
the tension that, okay, I just want to hurt them. No, when I say analyzing people, I say, as in, you do it in a true way. Like, for example, you're my friend. I would see something in your characteristic and I say, you're amazing, but what if you were a little bit more patient?
Yeah.
Just if you had this point of view for example, respecting other people's opinion. You know, just like what we as friends do to each other, and we never get sad from each other because we know that the intention is to correctify the other person, is to bring the best version out of them.
You know, I believe in order to criticize someone, you need to be qualified to criticism.
That's very true.
And that's the point. There is criteria to be qualified enough to criticize someone. The first point is to know that you have the deep knowledge of the personality, of the consequences, of the circumstances of that person, the life of that person.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's a superficial knowledge.
What they are going through? Do you know what they're thinking about? Do you have any idea about the things they have in their mind?
Exactly. Put yourself in their shoes. That's the point, because most of the people feel like the real world is exactly the same as the virtual world we're living in.
Mm-hmm.
You see a post, you write something without any kind of
consideration.
Consideration, exactly. And you post it. You post a comment under the photo, under the video, under
and
the...
And thank you, Bita. Yes, you mentioned a very good point. This whole stuff that happens in the media has made everyone feel like, okay, I have the right to say everything.
Yeah.
I am a free creature and I should say whatever I feel.
And put the name of freedom of speech on that.
Yeah.
To make it more beautiful.
Just like add it with this sticker that, okay, this is freedom of thought.
Exactly.
I am a human being with the right to speak up. No. Not everything you feel can be said. Especially out loud.
Exactly. It's like that because we are losing ourselves in that virtual world. And we want to be like that in the real world, but it doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly.
And at least people like us won't let you to make it practically.
Exactly.
Make it practical.
And you know what?
What?
The break is shouting.
Okay.
So, first thing first, before you judge other people, try to think that, am I a just, critical person or no? I'm just trying to hurt them. By the way, this is Youth Station. We're talking about being critical. And do I have a patience and understanding of people if they do the same thing to me, if they criticize me? Am I that patient? Am I that, you know, mature and evolved to understand people's criticism toward myself?
Yeah, and that's a really difficult task to do because when we look at the stories of our infallibles, peace be upon them, we see that they are so patient. Even if people insult them, not only criticizing, but also insulting them is something that they can pass it like patiently.
Exactly. But, you know, and not giving it back as if it's a fight. Yeah. Like we have a lot of stories. Like they hear bad things and then they start to reply in a very kind and soft way.
Yeah. And this softness and this kindness will touch the heart of those people, for sure.
Exactly.
And this is a kind of skill that we have to work on, at least me.
I usually say it, you know, I am not a kind of a tolerant person if somebody comes and criticizes me out of nowhere. It would be a wrong, a false notion if I say I am that evolved to tolerate every kind of criticism that comes to me. No. But the thing is that, as I just told you at the very beginning of today's episode, I hear them. I may respect them or even not respect them. But the thing is that most of the time I don't accept them.
Yeah.
The thing is how much truth is behind the words they're saying. Because as we see it in modern day, now as the result of all those freedom of speech and whatever, people start to attack each other under the notion, under the pretext that, okay, I'm criticizing you. Why aren't you tolerant enough to listen to it?
Exactly. And the point that I have always difficulty with is that people are using this method of calling everything criticism to insult each other.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah, it's
this,
insult,
this is not criticism.
But they call it criticism, unfortunately.
And the thing is, I'm not patient enough. I know that deep in my heart that I have to work on this part of my personality to be more tolerant.
We all have to. I guess we all have to.
Some people are more patient, you know, or maybe just some more ignorant, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. That's a good point. Maybe they don't even listen to you.
Exactly. But the point is, even if you try to be patient, if you try to be ignorant or don't care about other people's criticism, that there is something back in your mind that would trigger you to overthink it. And this is what is really miserable in this process for me.
So, first thing first, as a critical person, if you want to criticize other people, just try to be fair. This is the first point.
Exactly.
Second step is to see if it is important that much to be mentioned or not. Because sometimes you get some points, but they did not have to be necessarily said out loud. You can keep it for yourself because, you know, there are some wisdoms, you don't have to share them.
Yeah.
And not all people are interested to listen to them. So keep it for yourself. You come to understand something, keep it for yourself, unless it becomes an important matter to both of the people involved in that interaction. There are a lot to the one who criticized, and also on the side of the one who's been criticized also, we have some responsibilities.
Exactly.
Like, for example, being tolerant. React with softness. I know sometimes people insult us. They did not criticize us. And it's very difficult to be soft and kind in those moments and forget about being so tempered or, I don't know, suddenly starting to boil, all of those things. But based on our narrations, we have to be kind and soft to other people. So if you hear other people say bad things to you under the pretext of criticism, try to ignore them with your kindness and softness. Do not reply them back because then you're going to be dragged down to their own levels.
Exactly. The deep second point that you mentioned was really touching me because there is this description of Allah Almighty that He's Sattar. It means that He will hide your weakness, your sins, your problems.
Your deficiencies.
And,
you
exactly.
know, deficiency is very important. That's the deficiency that you need to cover it for me.
Exactly.
As a friend, as someone who loves me, as the one who wants me to be improved.
And because of that, we feel like we have to find the right way of criticism. So
exactly.
I think we need to go for a break, then we're going to talk about more.
Thank you.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back. Yes, this is the final moment of today's Youth Station. We're talking about how much tolerant we are related to the criticisms that come to us. And then we talked about quite many things on the side of the person who criticizes and on the side of the person who is being criticized. And we said that the most important thing on the side of the person who is criticizing is to be fair and is to be kind even when they are going to add something. And then see if it's needed to be shared or not.
Yeah.
And how much is it going to be effective? If I say this, would they accept it? Would they change? Would that, I don't know, create any new thing in their life? If not, please keep it for yourself. Because, you know, in this life, we already have a lot of distractors. We already have a lot of overthinking. So we did not have to add some other burdens into each other's shoulder.
You know what? Nowadays, we are having actually some beneficial communication with each other. If I'm telling you you're like that, or if I'm criticizing you, it's because I want a point for myself to keep it in the future. Then, for example, if you don't correct it, if I will tell you that I told you that you're like that.
Yeah, just to reproach people, yeah. To reprimand them, to tell them that I told you, see?
Yeah, see what happened. And this method is not beautiful.
Yeah, so, it is not. It is not the way siblings treat each other, you know?
Exactly.
It is not the way family treats each other. So if I am criticizing someone, let's make something clear that if I am criticizing someone, that means I love them. I care for them. I want them to be improved, be it a system of society, be it a system of a family or whatever that goes between you and your friends. Whoever it is that you're criticizing, you wish for their improvement because you care for them.
Exactly.
Because you love them. So if you love someone, you don't talk to them in a language that is not suitable. You did not use it as a as a sword to dagger their heart.
And to give you the brief history of what we talked up to here is that you have to look into your intention. Whether you criticized or you criticize someone. If you are criticizing, it should be for making and developing that person that you are criticizing. If you are being criticized, first of all, think about the person, the knowledge of that person, of you and your personality and your circumstance. And if it's fair for that person to judge you, then think about what they mentioned.
Yeah, just give a second thought to what they say. Not necessarily accept it or believe in it or take it as a gospel truth. No, just think about it. Okay. To some extent, they're right. And how people see me.
Exactly.
And why they see me this way while I'm not.
And consider it as a trigger in order to make a better version of yourself.
Exactly. And I guess that was the gist of what we were talking about.
Yeah. To just wrap it up and put these actually topic that we had into the words of our infallibles, peace be upon them. I'm going to narrate this narration from my lead that everyone that will give me my deficiency and will lead me to the road of self-awareness is my friend. And I believe we need more of these friends in our life to show us the real image that we have and we show to other people.
Of course, in a good manner that we already talked about.
Yeah.
So this was all for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you, dear youth, will see that day and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings. Be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about
this. We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ya Latif, 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 Ya Latif,
Ya Latif. Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. Thank you.
This is IRIB English Radio.